The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we're Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you want. If you can't listen live overnight to one of our great radio stations that carries us. We've got some great radio stations, and today found out some bad news. A gentleman that I worked with when I worked at our great affiliate, WLS, Jay Marvin, I saw today passed away. Jay, when I first met him, this is when I worked for a short time at WLS in Chicago, just great radio station. Great. I can still remember the first night there and sitting up there and looking over the city of Chicago going, wow, I can't believe I'm here. And Jay Marvin was on before I went on the air. And, you know, I didn't know of Jay at that. I knew of Jay because I'd listened to his show before. Jay and I probably disagreed on the vast majority of issues. He called himself, I'll never forget, that when I went in and we did a crossover, and it was crossover supposed to be a couple of minutes, and it went like an hour. We got into you know, politics and what he was, and he said, I'm a liberal libertarian. And I said, impossible. And from that point on, he was just so much fun, even though we disagreed on the issues. Just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful human being. And just found out yesterday that he passed away. And the well-known radio executive, Gabe Hobbs, who was just, you know, legendary in the business, was the one that that broke it. And then all these radio people, and so many of them conservative talk show hosts, mm-hmm. that had such great things to say about Jay. And, you know, over the last decade, you know, ran into some health problems and things like that, but was just wonderful. And I just want to make that when you're in this business, there are just some people you pass, even if just for a short time, that make a really big impact on you.
Yeah.
And he knew coming in that I was a conservative talk show host, and he was nothing but, you know, gracious and welcoming. And I will say, maybe that was at that time in the beginning of talk radio when you didn't have the tribalism that may exist today, even in the business. You know, I've never felt that way, and I know that meeting people like Jay helped it. So, you know, you're a broadcaster first. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And I'm always here to help you no matter what you do. You do a gig, sort of like stand-up comedy. You may do stand-up comedy I don't like, but if, you know, you're out there and you need any advice, you know, you're there for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay was that kind of guy, and just so sad that to hear that he passed away. And I just wanted to mention that to start off this hour.
Yeah.
So, oh, but great memories. Because I think about that, and I smile every time. I smile every time. I'll never forget it. I'm a liberal libertarian. I look at him, impossible. Explain that one to me. Oh, it was so much fun. It really,
yeah.
really was. So,
yeah.
Rest in peace, Jay. All right, so here we go. There's the headline, FBI conducted search of Biden's office in mid-November. We didn't know this, did we? We were asking the question.
Why would that not be put out there from the beginning, at least from the report that came out after the report from CBS that started the public knowledge of all this a few weeks ago. Why would you not put that out there?
Well, the White House keeps saying we're being transparent, we're being transparent, we're being transparent. They're trying to say we're being transparent with the media and we're cooperating with the Department of Justice. In fact, let's hear from Biden Communication Director Kate Bedingfield yesterday. They got to bring, Kirby wasn't there. I didn't see Kirby. I didn't see Karine Jean-Pierre. Okay, bring out Biden Communications Director Kate Bedingfield. Maybe she can explain it in a better way.
Okay.
All right. Here she is on CNN yesterday.
All right, let me ask you about some new reporting here. According to a Justice Department official and another source familiar with the matter, the FBI searched President Biden's former think tank office in Washington in November after the discovery, just before the midterm elections, of the documents with the classified markings. Were any additional classified documents found as part of that search?
That's not something I can comment on from here. That's something you'll need to ask the Justice Department. What I can say is that we have been cooperative and transparent from the outset. We put out multiple statements from the president's personal attorney describing the process and being clear that the president takes this seriously.
All right. Okay, let's go to the next audio cut then and the next question. Here we go.
Transparency, but I'm bringing this to you. You aren't bringing it to me. This happened in mid-November. If you are indeed being transparent, why the continued trickle of disclosure around these classified documents?
We have released multiple statements from the White House, and President Biden's personal attorney has released multiple statements over the last month, walking through the process and agreeing to be fully, fully cooperative with the Justice Department. This is a process that plays out. We are responsive to the Justice Department's requests.
Okay, as you can see, she's not answering the question.
It's like she's right talking about something totally different.
Completely different, right. And of course, they're not being. And the reason he asked that is because originally she said, we're being transparent and we're cooperating with the Justice Department. Well, how can you be transparent when we don't know any of this stuff? You know, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
But this is where a reporter, this is what I would do if I was a reporter. Look, with all due respect, I invited you on the show and I would, if you respect the process that we have here, we ask a question. I'd like you to answer. You know, give me an answer to the question. Just a reply isn't enough. Reply to the question that I'm asking you. You have not been transparent. I will give you this. You claim, and I don't know whether this is true, you're claiming you're being totally cooperative with the Department of Justice. I haven't heard their side, but you're making that clear that you can't be transparent with us because you're cooperating with the Department of Justice. So would you please, with all due respect, stop trying to indicate that you're being transparent with the media, because you're not. You can't have it both ways. And if you're not going to respect me as a reporter, then when we invite you on, say you can't come on. But don't disrespect this show. That's what I'd say.
Well, because you're a public servant and you answer to the public.
Yeah. I throw that in there, too. That's good.
Yeah. Why is it that this would not be divulged along the way? Why is it? The story, why is it changing? How many times has it changed now? This is the problem. When the story changes so many times and you have this kind of evolution in the story, then it brings about a million questions. It was the president's staffers. It was his personal attorneys. And now, the DOJ. Well, why is the story changing? And why a little bit of new information on the fly, it seems like every few days.
Mm-hmm. And every time it comes out, it shows that you haven't been transparent with the public.
Right.
Yet you keep saying you're transparent. The transparency is clear.
Right.
Now, you just said we're cooperating with the Justice Department. That's not the question I'm asking you. I'm asking you, you just said you're being transparent on the issues with us, the media. That is not true. Why can't they say that? I'd say that.
Story is changing. Your story.
Yes.
As communications director, you're in charge of that right. storyline.
What doesn't putting out statements doesn't make you transparent.
No.
Answering the questions that we're asking and not replying to a question we haven't asked is not being transparent. Oh, fry their minds.
They're
make them uncomfortable.
They're not just becoming aware that the DOJ did this search in mid-November. They've known this all along.
They've known all along, yeah. But why?
This isn't new information right. to them.
Right, because Biden had to, Biden, as it said, allowed the
yes.
search.
Right.
So Biden had to know about it.
Right.
So you're not being transparent.
Right.
Or the president isn't being transparent with you. He's sending you out to defend him and isn't telling you the truth and telling you that he's being transparent and he's not to the American people. So either you're not telling us the truth or the president isn't telling you the truth and leaving you to hang out to dry. Which is it?
Well, and with this particular president, the last one is a very strong possibility.
Yeah.
It's something that I put up there a while back. It sounds like it's quite possible that internally he's not being honest with his own staffers.
Could be. Yeah.
This is a guy who makes up lies and has for decades, and we all know it. Bizarre lies. Lies that mean nothing.
I heard he told the Amtrak lie again this week.
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, why not keep it going, right?
I did see one response on Twitter. It's like, wow, the thing unique about Biden is he tells the same lies for decades.
No, it is.
It's the same lie.
I forget which liberal media newspaper it was, but it was early on. The bizarre set of lies that Biden has been telling for years.
Yeah.
So if he's willing to lie about, you know, all these other things, he's damn sure willing to lie, and he's willing to lie to anybody, then it tells me, yeah, that's something you have to consider, the possibility of him not telling the truth internally. And so now, mid-November, DOJ does the office search, December 20th, the Wilmington House. But then the DOJ doesn't do, as far as we know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Didn't do their search of the Wilmington house until later. Or did they? Because.
Well, yeah, we heard the Wilmington house was, that's where they found the additional documents.
No. I mean, did they not do it before then? I can't tell you. The story is changing.
Oh, my point. I see what you mean. Okay.
I don't know if that's
the timeline.
Because we're told that they had not done a search before then, that this was the first Wilmington House search. Is it? I don't know. The story is changing all the time. And why is that?
And why is there such a long length of time, especially when you found them at the Penn Biden Center? Oh, and by the way, we don't know. Here's the other interesting thing. The sources, because CBS again broke this story.
Mm-hmm.
But the sources don't know if more classified documents were found. They seem to have known a lot before.
Right.
That would seem to be something that you would think the sources that have gone to CBS with the information that they have so far, would know that.
On the mid-November search by the DOJ, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Of the office, right.
Biden office.
Yeah,
whether
right.
whether they found more classified documents,
right.
Because whoever the source is to CBS has known quite a bit. And all of a sudden, this comes out that from CBS that there was a search at the Penn Biden Center, but two sources, because it was two sources that they mentioned. Two sources did not know if anything was found.
That seems like a big part of the story to be missing.
Well, now that we know they're not being transparent in anything, speculation is okay.
Well, okay, because, and we haven't heard from the DOJ on this yet.
No.
I mean, it makes you wonder, well, is, my gosh. Because there's no way for the Biden administration to come out and say the DOJ did their search and expect, in other words, if they were making it up, to make it look like, oh, well, no, they were part of it from the beginning. We included them in the process from the beginning. If that were the play, well, the DOJ has to answer the question eventually.
Here's a question. Why haven't Republicans gone for a warrant yet to the Department of Justice to find out what they have? And I'm talking about the Republican, the House Intelligence Committee. The Senate Intelligence Committee is still led by Democrats.
Right.
But the House Intelligence Committee is led by Republicans. Why haven't they gone to a judge yet? They may. I'm not criticizing them. I'm simply asking a question. Why haven't they done it yet? There may be a legit reason.
Maybe that's the next move. Maybe that's in the works.
Go for a subpoena.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you go for the subpoena first. Go for the subpoena first. Right. But why haven't they done it yet? Because if they're truly concerned about what these classified documents may contain that might harm national security, and, you know, it's been, what, 5 days now since the Senate did it last week? And, and so you would think that they would want to promote both for legit reasons and legit political reasons, both.
Yeah, sure.
That, look, these are classified documents have been all over the place. We need to know what's going on because this is about national security. And the Department of Justice says, well, sorry, we can't tell you what's going on in an investigation. This isn't a bribery investigation.
Right.
These are top secrets.
Yep.
The executive branch, Department of Justice, doesn't get to tell us, you know, what and what we should not know about the top secrets of the United States. And there, when there may have been a classified document breach, you don't get to control that.
Right.
Now, you may control the investigation. You don't control those actual documents.
Two separate roles. Two separate branches of government.
Yeah.
And those are these are all valid questions. And could it be that the GOP is waiting, you know, to, or behind the scenes, they're trying to negotiate with the DOJ to tell them exactly what we just said.
Or they're not going to do it with the DOJ. They're going to do it with the special counsel who takes over apparently today.
Right. Maybe they believe they'll get greater cooperation from the special counsel.
Maybe.
I don't know.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Starting and charging system-related issues are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Knowing the warning signs that could indicate your electrical system needs attention can help you avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. Have your electrical system checked by a certified technician. If your vehicle begins to shut down electrical loads like radios and cab lights while in operation, this is a surefire sign that you're experiencing low battery voltage, and continuing to run in these conditions can lead to additional electrical systems shutting down.
This report brought to you by Lubrifiner, engineering filters that are built to do more for heavy-duty fleets since 1996.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Check out all the latest in news, events, trucking information, and podcasts at Red Eye Radio's website.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, every single time a bit of information comes out, it makes it worse and worse and worse for the Biden administration on this on the whole classified document gate. It's not even Corvette gate anymore because it keeps expanding and expanding. Now, the next question is, because now that we know the FBI has gone into the Penn Biden Center and his home, the next thing would be, did they say, I can't remember, did they say the beach house was searched?
I actually don't remember.
I think that they said a lawyer.
I think they said their people searched it,
but I don't. I have nothing about the FBI. And what about the University of Delaware, where there's a trove of that would be the next place that you would have to go.
Right.
Is that why we aren't being told if they found any documents when they searched the Penn Biden Center?
Oh, good question. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com. And use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letter CPRedEye. Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Consider yourself canceled if you don't listen nightly. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I haven't seen Karine Jean-Pierre this week at all. There's been apparently no press briefings.
Maybe she's searching for documents.
Yeah, I know the president's been around. He was in, New York yesterday and all that. And you saw that you have Mayor Adams again. Please, please. That the president made sure he didn't go anywhere near where migrants were yesterday.
Yeah, of course.
In New York City, and the mayor of New York's begging the president again that we need help, we need help. After migrants faced off with New York City police over being transferred from a hotel to free housing, Mayor Adams has called the entire situation very frustrating. I'm extremely frustrated, he said. He has recently returned from El Paso, as we know. And he has said yesterday that, you know, the White House has got to do more, as the president was in New York, to help with the migrant situation. And, of course, the White House is completely tone deaf. He doesn't even exist.
Right.
I've seen that. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're not even going to pay attention
of course
to what you're saying. So, again, they'll throw Democrats under the bus. They don't care.
No. Nope. They don't
they
care.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
You know, I want to get to a couple of other things here. This one, I'll just read what Jim Garrity wrote in National Review. Democrats doing about-face on Georgia. For much of 2021, every single major Democrat, including President Biden, denounced the state of Georgia as a racist disgrace when its Republican-controlled state government enacted an election reform law that they insisted was a voter suppression effort and Jim Crow 2.0 and also Jim Crow on steroids.
Yeah, right.
But 2022 brought record turnout in both the primaries and midterm elections, and the state's African Americans reported great satisfaction with and trust in their voting experience. We brought you that poll a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not one African American voter that was surveyed, not one, stated that it was hard to vote. Not one.
Hmm.
Now, Joe Biden wants Georgia to vote early in the presidential primary process, and just about every major Southern Democrat wants Atlanta to host the party's next national convention.
Oh.
Somehow, in this extremely short time, Georgia went from too racist to host the 2021 Major League Baseball All-Star Game to now deserving to host the 2024 Democratic National Convention.
Oh. Huh.
In the minds of Democrats, the state of Georgia is either an oppressive, racist hellhole mm-hmm. or a bright, shining future of American politics, depending on the results of the latest election.
Hmm.
Apparently, Georgia is now good again because NBC News reports that a lot of elected Democrats from Virginia to Louisiana are urging their party to hold the 2024 National Convention in Atlanta. Uh-huh. Now, to every Democrat out there, that same law that every single major Democrat and President Biden called Jim Crow 2.0 and Jim Crow on steroids, it is still the law.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But Democrats that wanted and pushed for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game to be moved out of Georgia now wants to hold the 2024 Democratic National Convention in Georgia. My, how things change. Why? Because every single major Democrat, including President Biden, were reacting like leaders of any white supremacist hate group. They were telling lies in order to create racial division.
Yep.
And racial hatred based on skin color. President Biden and every single major Democrat lied about a law that brought record numbers of people to vote and got complete satisfaction. Not one poor rating from even one African American voter in Georgia that was polled.
Huh.
Not one. And they called it Jim Crow 2.0 and Jim Crow on steroids. We told you they were lying back then. Some of our Democrat listeners disagreed with us and thought it was correct for the Democrats to move Major League Baseball out of there and that the Democrats should do nothing there and everybody should boycott Georgia because the Republicans had enacted a Jim Crow law. We explained in specific detail what Jim Crow laws were and then brought to you what the Georgia election law was about and asked for anyone to tell us how one related to another. No one could because they didn't. And the Democrats never got into the minutiae of the law. In fact, when they did get into, they did try to get into the minutiae of the law, but they didn't. Remember when they said that you would be denied water?
Yeah.
That you were,
right.
They were going to starve
mm-hmm.
and people would die of thirst
mm-hmm.
in the lines to vote. And it was like, no.
They wanted you to believe people were actually going to drop dead while
of thirst.
Waiting to, because of the GOP.
Of dehydration.
Yes.
Republicans want you to die from dehydration when you're voting.
Cause of death, GOP-related dehydration.
And as we found out, no, you could bring water. You could bring water. What they didn't want anything happening, and reasonable people, when it comes to security of elections, could all agree, except Democrats when they lie, that no, if you wish to bring water, fine. You leave the water. The election poll workers put it out in a place mm-hmm. where each voter can get a bottled water. But they said, no, political groups, we don't want handing out water. We don't want anybody influenced when they are in line to vote. A totally reasonable law that Joe Biden and every single major Democrat lied about and referred to the law as a Jim Crow law in order to get people of different skin colors to hate each other based on a lie. And as we have stated, when we've been talking about this since this law was put into effect, nobody has ever attempted to debate us because they know we're right. They lied about it.
Yep.
And they did the worst kind of lie, because what we're told is hate is the worst sin you can have. That's what, by Democrat standards, hate is the worst thing. They wanted you to hate somebody because they were lying to you and saying these people want to go back to the old Jim Crow laws in the United States. Mm-hmm. They were race lies. They were hate lies. The Democrats and the president promoting hate lies consistently, over and over again, speech after speech after speech. And the rhetoric was so strong and the lies were so strong that Major League Baseball moved their All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Coca-Cola thing too?
Yeah.
Coca-Cola, these businesses, right, all bought into the lie, all were a part of doing what white supremacist groups do and any hate group does, which is tell a lie to make someone hate someone else based on their skin color.
And no more doing business in Georgia. We're done.
Right. Right. No more doing business in Georgia. Can't do it. Now they want to bring, the law still exists. It's the same law today. Mm-hmm. And now Democrats are saying, yay,
mm-hmm.
let's move the Democratic National Convention. Let's make sure it's in Atlanta for 2024.
Sure.
Georgia is such a beacon of hope. Well, the law's the same.
Yep. Nothing has changed.
Nope. All lies. All lies. And all hate lies. What kind of despicable people will lie like that to make someone hate someone else because of their skin color? They are what they claim their political enemies are.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, is that if you want to find the truth, just listen to what they accuse others of doing.
And you'll know that's what they are.
Yep. It applies across the board. Georgia voting law, Russian collusion,
Texas voting law, remember the whole
Texas thing. Voting law. Anytime they're screaming bigotry, stop and ask yourself what it is they're actually doing.
A liberal transgender activist movement?
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw out this name. Well, fine. Okay. Well, and that's one of my favorite things to do now. Right? And we started it with that. Oh, okay, you don't believe that a biological man can be a biological woman because they say so? Well, you're transphobic. Mm. Well, then fine. Let's name call back and forth. You're a misogynist femophobe.
Mm-hmm.
You hate women
mm-hmm.
because you're lying about biology and you're taking opportunity away from them. Okay, let's go at it. You want to have this debate? Let's have this debate. Go for it. Well, no, because you'll hurt my feelings. And hurting my feelings is wrong. Fine, you hurt my feelings because you're lying. And you're hurting those women's feelings because you're lying. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. You're lying. Let's continue this debate. Go ahead. Come on. Give us your best. You don't have anything except intimidation And what do? You tell women swimmers in the Ivy League, we'll destroy your life. We'll cancel you for telling the truth.
And they pretend, in the meantime, to be a champion.
For women. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. It's absolutely bizarre.
No, it really is the strangest set of circumstances. We've been saying for a while that not just the presidential historians in the future, but historians in general will look back at a time. Because when things are behind you, that means the agenda items are behind you because, you know, what anything that the that you might have been using, you know, for political advantage is in the past, right? It got you to where you needed to go, and then you drop it. Historians, as they look back, will be talking about the ideas. They'll talk about policy. They'll talk about ideas. It won't be about the personalities. It will be about the essence of the ideas, and there's no way to look at the left, today's far left, and say anything but absolutely bat soup crazy.
I have to read it. I've just seen this story on it. You see where the Columbian Journal Review is looking at, and they're liberal, looking at the coverage and destroying the New York Times on their coverage of Russiagate?
Mm. Yeah.
Of the whole Trump collusion thing?
Right.
That's where historians start looking back and going, my God, all the papers were wrong. Everybody was wrong. Look at when you actually tear it apart and you go through it
right
with a neutral mindset and say what was going on and was the reporting accurate and going through it. Oh, they just destroyed the New York Times.
Well, think about it. With the left right now, with Democrats and Georgia.
Yeah.
The voting law thing they needed at the time, they clearly don't need that stance anymore.
Right.
Kind of how historians work. They look back. Well, the agenda doesn't go backwards. So historians look back and they look at these things and say, there's no way to look at this with any sane eyes and say this was a good thing. And on how many different fronts?
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
If you like listening to Red Eye,
it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So I just wonder if Republicans will be attacking, that movement to move the Democratic National Convention to Atlanta after all the stink and all the lies from every major Democrat about the Georgia election law a couple of years ago.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Broadcasting live from Texas, where it's cold here, and we've got an ice storm coming up today, too, after dealing with what we've dealt with for the last couple of days. And all of this cold and all of this ice is because of climate change.
Yes. Of course, as we all know, ice storm warning went into effect. It starts actually here in a couple of hours and then is in effect for our neck of the woods until mid-morning Thursday. It's going to get crazy, and not in a good way. This is what I dread the most, really, is, and pretty much everybody dreads the most, and that's the power outages with freezing rain building up on the lines and the trees. And that's where the, you know, depending on how much we get, that's where the problems begin. Yeah.
Today could be the worst day of it all. And this thing
what
is
what they're saying.
It's just spread across. I mean, it's just
it's this, crazy.
The system is, you know.
Well, you look, it goes all the way down into the Big Bend area.
Yeah.
And it's just training across that region, basically slicing across Texas, a huge chunk of Texas.
And up through, and all the way, you know, through northern Louisiana and Arkansas.
We don't care about
into northern Mississippi.
This is about Texas.
All the way into.
don't change the topic.
all the way into Tennessee. I mean,
oh, no, it's massive. When you look at the national map, this thing is massive. Yep. It really is. But let's get back to me.
Are there other places besides Texas?
I'm not aware of
that. Oh, okay. I just wondered. Yeah. I mean, I just didn't.
But
did you see the weather map the other day when it showed in the panhandle up near Amarillo was like 15, and then down, you know, near beneath Corpus Christi was like 85?
Yeah. Right.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself that if you look at, you know, unless you're talking about, for example, if you live in Portland, where if you're not on Mount Hood, I mean, if you're not in a huge mountain, with, you know, huge elevation heights, or maybe in Colorado, but a place like Texas, which is still relatively flat, to have that type of temperatures shows you how big Texas is.
Well, it's crazy. Even between here and Amarillo, the temperature change is drastic. And there is a slight difference in elevation, but it really is about the size of Texas. There are times, and that's kind of how I gauge it, when there's a cold front on the way, I'll check the current temperature in Amarillo and then find out, you know, how the how far away that cold front is. But this ice storm and the fact that there's an ice storm warning, we had a winter storm warning in effect, and this ice storm warning now going into effect starting at 6 a.m. Central, and then going into effect through 9 a.m. on Thursday, that covers a huge chunk of the area. It's Bill Cairns from NBC, a couple of the meteorologists that I follow as well. Bill Cairns was replying to me yesterday on Twitter and sent me a note and said, yeah, Wednesday doesn't look good for you guys. I'm paraphrasing there. And then you saw that by all the meteorologists that are out there in our area and talking about how this today is going to be the day to watch. Different type of precipitation as yesterday in my neighborhood. I live further north than you do, but for about 25, 30 minutes, the amount of sleet coming down with thunder and lightning was unreal. I've never seen that. I've never witnessed that amount of sleet coming down. And it just, I mean, it just dumped. Then, you know, and that's the pellets. So it doesn't stick to the power lines like freezing rain does, and which is the rain that hits and then freezes and then causes all types of problems on surfaces, on power lines, on trees. Boy, not going to be good. So the recommendation is what you saw yesterday. Stay home if you can, if you don't have to get out. But man, oh man, if you have to get out, be careful. Take your time.
You know, we were talking about before the top of the hour how now the Democrats are pushing for the Democratic National Convention in 2024 to be held in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You've got the Jim Crow 2.0. Why would the Democrats bring it there? You need to punish Georgia like you did taking Major League Baseball out. Well, we all know, everybody knows, that they were lying.
Right.
They were lying about the Georgia election law. It wasn't Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. You had the, you know, and you see it's getting tougher and tougher to argue. You know, the polling that was done just a couple of weeks ago that we brought you here on Red Eye, which showed not one of the thousands upon thousands of people that they polled in Georgia. They couldn't get one poor review of the election, you know, how it was to vote in an election. Not one poor from any black resident whatsoever. And we had said all along this was a lie. You had record turnouts for both the primary and the general election in the state of Georgia. It wasn't Jim Crow 2.0. We told you way back when that what the president and every major Democrat was doing was reprehensible, because they were just like the, you know, they always talk about, you know, white supremacy and these white supremacy groups, yet they were doing exactly what those groups do and what those leaders of those groups do, which is they told a lie to make people hate each other because of skin color.
Yep.
That's what they did.
Yep.
They tell a lie in order to do it. And every single major Democrat, including the president of the United States, lied about the Georgia election law to cause racial hatred between people. It's reprehensible. It was back then and now. But now you see that, oh, okay, people just forget about it. Shh, be quiet. The law's the same. Mm-hmm. But now we want to be able to promote Georgia and promote Atlanta and bring the DNC. Wait a minute. Why are you giving them your business? You told Major League Baseball. Oh, you told corporations to boycott Georgia. Oh, you were lying. And understand what the lie was about. These were hate lies by President Biden. These were hate lies. I like this. I've come up with the term.
Mm-hmm.
Hate lies. Don't you like it?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
These were hate lies by every single major Democrat that talked about the Georgia election law and agreed that they were Jim Crow, basically Jim Crow laws, you know, Jim Crow 2.0, Jim Crow on steroids, all lies to create racial hatred. Think about how low of a person you have to be to do that. What kind of despicable and repulsive human being are you in this day and age to dare call somebody else racist when you're the racist? You're the one that wishes to create hatred and division. Take that a step further. We see this terrible killing of a suspect by Memphis police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want is what we've always wanted. We want very vibrant police departments across the country. We want them actively and aggressively to go after crime. And at the same time, we want them to protect the rights of anybody that they pull over. That's the expectation that we conservatives have for a police department. We don't give any excuse if a police officer breaks the law. In fact, most conservatives look at it and say, when you're given that additional responsibility and the authority to do things that average citizens can't do, you're held to a higher standard. That's what we believe. And we don't sugarcoat it. If something's wrong, it's wrong. We say it. And we're not going to lie about it.
It's always been in the foundation of good police work.
Right.
To make sure, because you're not just enforcing the law. At times, you have to be a representative, for law enforcement in general, someone who is building that rapport with your community. You're helping to keep the peace by establishing that relationship, maintaining that relationship on many different levels. You have to have that attitude, and it doesn't matter what happens there on the side of the road. That attitude must be present. It must rule your actions at every turn. And what happened in Memphis is absolutely mind-boggling in how brutal And unbelievable it was.
When you have, for example, and you look at the response to what happened there, and we were waiting for it because we understand how the left works. We were saying, okay, how are they going to relate this to white supremacy? Do they think that they can pull it off? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They did. And whether it was I can't think of his first name. Is it Mehdi Hassan from MSNBC that said it's you know, this is, you know, white supremacy, and that the let me get it here. You can't reform this stuff with body cameras or diversifying the police, as we just saw in Memphis. Instead. He talked about the abolition of the police might be the right solution. In this entire thing about police officers over the last 5-6 years that we've dealt with, Democrats have never wanted a solution. They've looked at every opportunity to create more chaos and more crime in the cities that they claim that they care about.
Right.
They, you know, stupid things like, oh, we need psychiatrists out there. Biden the other day, if somebody's going to jump off a building, you don't want a police officer. You want a, you know, you want a mental health professional.
Mm-hmm.
Is that mental health professional trained and willing to go and grab that person's arm and pull them off and put their life at risk?
What happens if that person becomes violent?
Right.
Well, what happens if that person has a weapon?
I mean, none of the solutions for there have been no solutions from the Democrats. They use this as an opportunity to create chaos, and what they have done by demonizing the police, and as much as none of this is acceptable at all, it's not white supremacy. They're looking to blame someone so they can cause chaos. But you look at Memphis, and we talked about it yesterday, a city that is majority black, huge majority black, mm-hmm. a police department that is majority black, a police department whose police chief is black,
mm-hmm.
a situation where all the police officers engaged in that final, you know, in the confrontation where he was killed, the five police officers were black, the suspect was black. Obviously, it's white supremacy. This is why they will lose the culture wars, because nobody buys that. Nobody buys it. But this is what they're still put, and they push it. Why? Because they say no matter what, even if you have a black police, a vast majority police force that is black, that a black police chief in a city that is majority black, it's still white supremacy, which then is the indicator that blacks can't control. You know, we talk about if you're equal, you're equal. But in this same thing, you have liberals that are saying that blacks don't have the capability to run their own police department and their own city.
Right. That you just have to do away with it altogether.
And they use
bigotry as this motivator that they have done, like they did with the Georgia election laws and done so many times because they understand that virtually no one accepts bigotry, that a public can only be motivated if there is that fear instilled in them. We need you to fear this, that, look, this is going to occur more and more. This is going to, if we don't think about how radical the idea is, if we don't abolish police altogether. Which, by the way, is so far away from the public opinion.
Oh, I know. That's
even in the wake of such a tragedy.
Yep.
The officers involved here absolutely should face justice. There is no justification for what happened here in Memphis. None. But you do not abolish police across the country because of this one event.
But understand again the way that they insult blacks, that mm-hmm. because of this so-called white supremacy that is this bubble that exists everywhere, that blacks, even if they're the majority, are not held responsible for anything because they actually can't handle their own lives. They can't handle their own police departments.
They're not capable of leadership.
They're not capable of leadership. They're not capable of being
that's
police
what the
departments.
Left wants you to believe.
Right, because this sort of fog of white supremacy exists, and it doesn't matter whether it's majority black or not. They don't have the capability to go beyond the white supremacy that isn't affecting them every day, but it's sort of this fog that exists, you know, an aura of white supremacy that they can't defeat as black men and women. It's an absolute insult to blacks is what it is.
Right.
They don't even know they're doing it.
Right. Because the idea is that, well, it doesn't matter. The department, right. The chief, they cannot remedy this situation.
Right.
They cannot have a solution on their own because they're not capable of it. Everything needs to go.
Right. My God, I mean, that's so racist. You think about it.
If that's not bigotry, I don't know what is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
With the calendar's transition from January to February,
we have the vast majority of the country experiencing below normal temperatures. That is especially true in the West, across the Great Plains, and into the Midwest. All of those areas significantly below normal.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey notes below minus 20 degree Fahrenheit temperatures in parts of the northern plains and upper Midwest.
And sometimes with the wind accompanying that bitter cold, we have seen wind chill temperatures that have dropped in some cases in the minus 40 to minus 50 degree range, resulting in difficult conditions for not just humans, but also livestock as well.
Yet the deep freeze that started January has hardened livestock to the latest cold conditions. This current freeze event should include significant winter weather in parts of the country during the week. Good for winter wheat crops, but behind potential travel and power disruptions. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Our audio cut of the day comes from CNN.
Oh.
And it wasn't Karine Jean-Pierre that they were interviewing, and it wasn't John Kirby they were interviewing. But, hey, bringing somebody new. I've seen her before, but not often out there in the forefront. But Kate Bedingfield was on CNN, and this is all about the CBS report yesterday that came out that said, oops, sorry, wasn't full transparency that we were getting from the White House. Why? Because we found out that in the middle of November that they did search, the FBI did search the Penn Biden Center.
Mm-hmm.
No word as to whether any more classified documents were found. They didn't say yes. They didn't say no in the report. The apparently two sources that were being talked to that I read said that they didn't have that information, which I find strange because that's the first time that we've got that. Must be.
Well, that's a big part, such a huge part of the story.
Yeah. And CBS has broken the majority of the stories, I believe.
Well, so they broke it first, but
yeah. So whoever their sources are have been pretty good knowing a lot. So it's interesting that they didn't know anything about that, which came about in the middle of November. Why did that take so long?
Right.
Here's one. If you're CVS, is it the same sources? And have they known all that information the entire time? And are they selectively releasing it to CBS? That would be one of my questions. But, of course, one of the things is the first thing that came up was, well, the White House is claiming they're being transparent, yet they're not being transparent. And that was the question asked to the White House spokesperson yesterday.
So, okay, you're claiming transparency, but I'm bringing this to you. You aren't bringing it to me. This happened in mid-November. If you are indeed being transparent, Why the continued trickle of disclosure around these classified documents?
We have released multiple statements from the White House, and President Biden's personal attorney has released multiple statements over the last month, walking through the process and agreeing to be fully, fully cooperative with the Justice Department. This
again, not answering the question.
Nope.
She never answered the question.
No.
She talked about that we're cooperating with the Justice Department. That wasn't the question. The question is, you said, and she had said in a previous comment to him, I want to play this comment so you know where this came from, where she said, we're being transparent. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
All right, let me ask you about some new reporting here. According to a Justice Department official and another source familiar with the matter, the FBI searched President Biden's former think tank office in Washington in November after the discovery, just before the midterm elections, of the documents with the classified markings. Were any additional classified documents found as part of that search?
That's not something I can comment on from here. That's something you'll need to ask the Justice Department. What I can say is that we have been cooperative and transparent from the outset.
There you go. And so then he asked her, you say you're being transparent. You're not.
No.
And it's just, you know, and, you know, we talked about this earlier. We'd played the audio earlier, but we wanted to play it again because it just shows the continuation of the fact that every time something comes out, you say, oh, they're lying again.
Right.
She's lying.
Yep.
They're not being transparent. And when he asked her, you know, basically, why aren't you being transparent? She said, we've released multiple statements. I didn't ask whether you released multiple statements. I asked, in those statements, are you being transparent?
You can release 1,000 statements a day.
Right. I don't care whether you release. I'm asking the question, you claim, as you just did, you're being transparent. Now, if you can't be transparent because the Department of you're cooperating with the Department of Justice, well, then say that. But
right.
You're trying to say we're cooperating with the Justice Department and we're being transparent with the press and the people of the United States, and we all know that's a lie.
This is the problem, and this is what makes me believe that there's, or at least makes me think that there's good reason to believe that Biden is not being completely honest with his own staff. And it's because if you were, then think about this. The communications director, you walk in, everybody involved from day one, we control the message. But the message has, their response has changed. How many times now? Well, you can't control this president and his, I don't know, it seems like constant desire to go off script. But how many different changes in this storyline have we seen?
Oh, I know.
And if you're, because it could have started with, as soon as those documents were discovered, we started reaching out to the National Archives and the DOJ to make sure that the process was being followed. Out of respect for the process, we're not going to answer anything more. And leave it at that, because it implies the DOJ is a part of it. But now we're learning, because think about it. Up until yesterday, we were to believe that the DOJ really hadn't even done their own search, mm-hmm. but did one at the Wilmington home.
Yep.
And we thought, well, that's probably a CYA move, you know, as you want to do that and get it out of the way before the special prosecutor comes in and officially goes to work. So you can tell the American people, oh, yeah, we did our own search. It still left the question for us. Yeah, but did you search everywhere? And then all of a sudden, oh, mid-November, they searched the office at the University of Pennsylvania. What?
Yeah.
But of course, right. We don't know if there were documents.
Right.
Now, it's a sore story.
Right, of course, coming from CBS. Right?
Yeah, it's a sore
not
story.
The White House.
No, it's a sore story.
Right.
But the reason I say, you know, from the beginning, it has sounded like a controlled leak or set of leaks.
I agree.
If you're going to control it, how about you do one thing? actually controlling.
Well, it's you know, as you said, you know, either the White House you know, press, the White House press people are lying consistently, or Biden isn't telling them anything and they're just throwing stuff out. But she knows now they're not being transparent.
Right.
On the transparency, you know, Kate Bedingfield, she knows she's lying. She
right.
knows she was lying to CNN. In fact, she knows she's lying. CNN, the CNN reporter knows she's lying. Mm-hmm. Karine Jean-Pierre knows she's lying. John Kirby knows she's lying. Everybody knows that they know that they're lying. The press corps knows that they're lying. The people of the United States know that they're lying. And they know that the people of the United States know that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pretend it's business as normal as yesterday. Kate Bedingfield lied again. They're not being transparent. And the thing is, it's so obvious they're not being transparent.
Well,
if you're going to lie, lie better.
Well,
that would be if I'm in the
no.
If I'm in the part of the Biden press team, guys, come on, lie better.
But who is a really horrible liar?
Joe.
Arguably the worst.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about not that he lies so much, not just that he lies so much, but the nature of the lies.
And he tells them not once or twice and then finally realizes he has to change the narrative somehow, or says you were mistaken. He continues telling the same lies for decades.
No, I mean, it's over and over again. And so that's what this reeks of. It's an ever-changing story. Well, what happened? You know, what's the first thing when you keep hearing the story change? Then anybody understands that that's an indication of a set of lies. But in this type of scenario, it really is more indicative of internally lies being told to the staff. That they're not being forthcoming to the staff. That Biden tried to keep this close to the vest. And now we're led to believe the DOJ, even more evidence, I would say, that the DOJ was working with Biden to cover this whole thing up. The story about the search in mid-November.
Yep.
That tells me that they were really trying to keep this close to the vest, and quite possibly because otherwise, if his communication staff were all told everything from the beginning, then you would hear more consistency and this story wouldn't change.
And finally, we said this was going to happen. First, for reparations in California, it was $223,000.
No.
Then it was $250,000. Then it was $500,000. These are just some of the numbers that have been brought about. Then it got to San Francisco, and it became $5 million per qualified individual.
Mm-hmm.
For reparations.
Right.
Now, as we know, the San Francisco Advisory Committee and their recommendation that the city pay out $5 million per person. Well, they had a meeting on it yesterday, and it doesn't go far enough towards making things right.
Told you.
A member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors told National Review on Tuesday, "I don't think you can put a figure."
Oh, okay. Okay.
On the reparations that should be paid out. Now, he didn't say what number he wanted, but he did say that $5 million is not enough. And it was San Francisco Council President Sherman Walton, apparently.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay.
Is what we have here. So,
well, it was, look, by their own standards of what they say this is going to achieve, then one of the first things I said was $5 million is not going to be enough.
Nope.
number one, because you're talking about San Francisco, and your money doesn't go very far in San Francisco. But number two, on the bigger picture of, again, what they say they're trying to achieve. Well, how can you cap it at $5 million? And what he's saying here is that you when it's said that you can't put a price on it, what he's saying is you really can't cap a price on it. So you can't limit it.
Well, no, because you know what the first thing I thought of? Hmm. I said, oh, wow, that's what a lawyer says in a civil suit to up the punitive damages.
That's it.
I went, wow, that's exactly what you say.
Well, because it's...
You cannot put a price on it with their Florida.
Well, that's it. It really is, how dare you put a price on it?
Yeah.
Because what are you saying? You're saying, well, here, let us write this check. This ought to take care of everything. That's insulting. It's also a negotiation tactic.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Progressive Commercial Insurance protects truck owners with specialized coverages for heavy trucks. Get a quote in as little as 5 minutes.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Slowly the truth comes out. We always talk about this here. I just found this now. I didn't see it, and our friend Kevin Tober had it from Newsbusters, and I didn't see the NBC report yesterday that they actually did a story that the feds could have stopped January 6th riots from happening. They actually did an interview with a former federal prosecutor, and they actually said this. The January 6th committee final report was more than 800 pages, but some material did not make the cut, including much of its findings on the failures of federal law enforcement leading up to the attack. The images of the attack on the Capitol stunned America and the world, and tonight in an exclusive interview, the chief investigator of the January 6th committee said the government could have prevented it. They did a story on it. We'll get to more here on future shows, but it's just fascinating that they actually talk. So the politicians wouldn't even let the investigator of the former January 6th committee bring in the problems, because you and I said this all along. Capitol Police have dealt with this before. There have been massive protests that could have turned into a riot.
Where was the security?
And they left it out completely as if it wasn't even part of the investigation.
Right.
And so NBC reporting that the chief investigator of the January 6th committee believes, yes, it could have been prevented if they just would have done their jobs.
Which we have been saying.
Whoa.
But the fact that NBC is on that story.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great work there again by
from Kevin,
Newsbusters. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin, and everybody over there, because that was, and we did forget to talk about it. We'll talk more about it on tomorrow's show, though. Mm-hmm. And where does this go? If NBC is on this now, then it's open.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.